Hey folks, Brian here. This week we are giving you two of the mini episodes from our Patreon. These came out on the Patreon a couple months ago, probably like January or something. And you get these every week if you sign up at the 2-peach tier or above. That's patreon.com/latentnight. Right now I'm mid-tour with Twerp. If you want to come see me as Trey Magnifique perform, go to tix.to/twrp and check out the shows with me, Twerp, and Nell Word all over North America. I've seen a lot of awesome people, a lot of people coming up to say they listen to the podcast, and I hope to see more. So enjoy this show, and maybe I'll see you on the road. Ka-chow. It's 2024.
That's the first ka-chow of 24. Very good.
The first. Will it be the last? Who knows?
I don't know. Brian, how are you feeling about the new year?
Fucking awesome.
Me
how
too.
How are you feeling? Yeah, I know.
Me
right?
too.
Here's what I like about 2024, Layton. Can you guess?
It has two twos in it and a four.
That's very good because two times two equals four. So I can make a little equation out of the year. Two plus zero quantity times two equals four.
Oh, my God. True.
Mm-hmm. Or you could raise that two to the power two and get a four.
Wow. Any hesitation I might have had about this year gone immediately because my favorite thing is math.
It's a leap year.
Is it?
Yeah. It's divisible by four.
Damn.
Right? Yeah. And here's my favorite part of the year. It's going to be a dope year, and then we get to finish off strong with an election.
Yeah. Remember how long ago 2020 is now?
Yeah. My favorite part, I love erection years because – that's when I get to have my once every 4 year erection.
Oh, very exciting.
You have no idea.
It's a lot built up there, huh?
Yeah. You might say there's a lot riding on it.
I don't know if anybody's riding on that.
No. Well, no. You know what? I'm not going to say the thing I was going to say.
Good for you.
I will just say. No.
Maybe is currently trying to scramble out of my arms because there's a treat on the desk and she wants that treat so
I want that treat.
Bad. We all want the treat. It's 2024, the year of having a little treat.
Yeah, I like that. That's great. How have you treated yourself recently? How was New Year? What did you do for New Year's Eve?
Allie and I got on a Discord call and we watched The Phantom Threat, which I had not seen.
Oh. You never saw it?
No.
Pretty fucking great, right?
It was pretty good. Yep. It was pretty good. Yeah.
It's so spooky. The ghost holding those threads.
Yeah. I got a little jump scared by a couple of those ghosts popping up. Yeah. Great girl boss cinema, honestly. Brian?
Yes.
Oh, no, you just didn't respond to my girl bossing, so.
I'm sorry. No, I'm intimidated.
Yeah, you should be. Next time you eat an omelet, watch the fuck out.
Yeah, I always do. That's why I don't eat omelets.
Okay.
I have my omelet set up where I set up a little mirror so I can see behind my back when I'm about to eat the omelet. And that way I can see people coming in from all sides.
You know what? I would like to lodge a complaint against omelets as a whole, because in theory, that's delicious. I'm not sure if I've ever had a good omelet in my fucking life.
You know what? Okay. You're so right. Because, okay. Here's one thing that I'm going to talk about omelets for a minute. Number one, I don't like cheese. A little bit in general, lots of asterisks on that. But in omelets, absolutely not. I realize this is an unpopular take. However,
that is very unpopular.
It means that any omelet I get with stuff in it is cheeseless, which maybe makes the thing worse, which I'm willing to admit. But here's the thing. What drives me absolutely insane is when people make an omelet and it's just a thing of eggs that they dump shit on top of and fold over.
Mm-hmm.
You got to mix it in, right? Are we all on the same page about this?
Yeah.
It seems so lazy to take a flat, like, egg pancake and throw a bunch of shit in there and fold it over and be like, look what I did for you. No.
Yeah, it needs to be incorporated.
Needs to be incorporated. Now, this is what I'm saying. Maybe the cheese makes it slightly better because it mushes in with the stuff and it gives it more, you know, purchase inside the omelet. The other thing I was going to say is that there's some – I read somewhere. Is this true? I don't know. That if you go to, like, French chef school, one of the things they drive home is how to make a good omelet. Mm. And it's not easy is the point.
Right? Yeah.
Like, you need the right pan, the right temperature, the right lubrication in the pan so the thing doesn't stick. Mm-hmm. It's a whole thing. Your standard issue, I'm making this at home or in a restaurant omelet, is not, I think, by highfalutin standards, a good omelet.
Yeah. My major issue with an omelet is that anytime you get them, they are the driest thing in the world. They're all so, so, so dry. And, like, when you're getting into the soft egg zone, such as a scrambled egg, I'm a real stickler about scrambled eggs. I don't like it the Gordon Ramsay way. It's too liquid. I don't like it the way that most places do it, which is overcooked. When I was in treatment, this was making me fucking nuts because they would make scrambled eggs every morning. But on a base level, they would overcook them and then they would leave it in the hot pan for like an hour. So I would like watch them be actively overcooking the scrambled eggs before that rest period and be like, no, you have to stop when it's still wet. Mm-hmm. You have to stop when it's still wet. I know I'm not allowed to have kitchen instruments, but please stop. I can't watch this.
Yep. Yep.
It was a crime.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. Let's talk eggs, Layden. How do you like your eggs? It's a new year. Baby New Year is just hatching because, as we all know, Baby New Year is it a chicken? Or is it something more fun, chick? like a duck? A ducky. Baby New Year is a ducky.
Can you say ducky again?
Do you want just that clean or do you want
ducky
it
clean?
In context?
Yeah.
Okay. Ducky.
Great. Amazing. Well, speaking of eggs, how do I like them?
How do you like them?
Unfertilized.
Mm-hmm. Great. You're batting 1,000 so far.
Thank you. I really nailed that one. Personally, if I'm getting like a diner breakfast, what I want is an egg over medium. The issue is if you order an egg over medium, you are not getting that egg over medium.
No, it's too hard.
Or it is straight up sunny side up because they don't give a fuck. And I respect that. That's fine. I hate sunny side up. I don't like under. Hard is bad. It's why I only really want to make eggs at home because I know that I do it correctly. And then also I love any soft boiled egg. That might be my favorite form of egg.
I agree with you.
Jammy yolk. Mm-hmm. I do love a little scramble with cheese. That is a go-to.
Mm-hmm.
A ripped up Kraft single, mind you, because I find that it melts immediately and it's really good. And then cook that in too much butter and make big curds and then take it out when it's still wet and you're done. That's all you need. You need to remove them from the pan while they're wet. This is so important. If there's one lesson I can impart to listeners of this show, if you think they don't look done, take them out.
Yeah. For a couple of reasons. One, it's better. Two, they keep cooking.
They keep cooking.
After you take them out. That's the other thing. This is why when you cook a steak, you let it sit for a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to keep cooking. It's not like you turn off the heat and the thing stops cooking. But yeah people – sorry. Finish your egg discourse.
A breakfast buffet tray of scrambled eggs is just my nightmare.
They're pretty gross. Actually, I just got off. I was at an event for the last few days where there were scrambled eggs every day. And I did eat them because there weren't a lot of options. But they're so wet. Like, so wet.
And it's wet in the wrong way, right? It's
correct.
Like wet in that they've been sitting and they're like wet on the outside in a sort of film. Whereas like my ideal scrambled egg is wet in that they are glossy.
Yeah, these were wet. It felt like water wet, not egg wet.
Yeah, yeah. Like condensation shit.
Yes. Also, someone pointed out, and I thought this was a really good point. Why are they so yellow? They're too yellow. Which I think feels like there was some food coloring added to make them more yellow. Now, were they terrible? Honestly, no. They could have been a lot worse. But were they good? Also, no. I made up for this by dumping Tabasco on them, which makes the situation more acceptable.
Tabasco and sriracha and any other hot sauce are there to make foods like that edible.
Keep going.
The TLDR of my egg take is over medium and jammy as possible.
I agree with that.
Ultimately, that's what I'm going for. I want that gooey yolk on whatever I'm getting. What about you?
Well, I do like eggs. I love a breakfast taco. Or a good breakfast burrito. Again, I don't like cheese in these, which I recognize ruins the experience. But there is an amazing. So let's put those aside, actually, as a kind of separate thing that we're not really talking about right now.
But we will talk about it because I want to talk about it.
We will talk about it, but we're talking about just like kind of eggs mostly by themselves. How do we like them? I like my ideal egg is a jammy, soft-boiled or poached, if you can do it, egg on like a good crusty bread with some butter, salt, and pepper.
Oh, fuck yeah.
That's a great egg. The kind of jammy yolk where you can break open the egg. Like you have this blob of an egg, the whole egg, and you put it on the thing and you kind of squish it.
Mm-hmm.
And the yolk spreads a little bit but doesn't drip all over the place.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about, right? Get that with some really good butter on like a nice baguette, like a good baguette, not a fucking grocery store baguette, but like a really good baguette. Little bit of salt, little bit of pepper. I don't even put hot
happiness.
Sauce. Yeah, that's great. Similarly, even if it's like on a nice piece of bread, whatever. Some thick, crunchy, nice bread. I do like that. I'm very partial to something I grew up with. Not that we would make at home, but that I would have in a diner. Pastrami and eggs.
Oh, fuck.
Eggs.
So good.
Yeah, like an omelet, but with pastrami. Get some rye bread. Oh, it's the best.
Did you ever do egg in a hole or egg in a basket or toad in a hole?
I was just about to mention this.
Wow.
In fact, I made two of these for myself not a week ago. Wow. And my dad made these for me growing up, and he would call them, and I guess this is something from his childhood in the 40s, 30s, an Egyptian egg.
Huh.
Why? I don't know. Was it vaguely racist, possibly, when he learned it? Yeah. Oh, possible.
As were all things in the 30s.
Correct. Right. But yeah, he called it an Egyptian egg. My dad never meant it in any kind of untoward way. That's literally just what he called it. Maybe because it looks like the eye on the pyramid, that's what I always kind of figured, like on the back of a dollar bill. Like I don't know why he didn't call it an Illuminati egg, which would have been more fun.
Well, you know, she's been canceled a few times over.
Right. I love Egyptian egg, toad in a hole. I think it rules.
My favorite part is after you've cooked the egg in the bread and taking that little disc of bread and then cooking it in the eggy butter.
Yeah,
it's like been going. Ugh.
Exactly,
and like overcook it, get it nice and brown.
Yep. I do. Oh, God damn it. Is that my iPad beeping? Whatever. We're just going to live through this. You know what? Can I turn on Do Not Disturb? Maybe I can. Oh, my God. It's a text from Dan Avidan.
Whoa.
eat shit. Back. No, I would never. I would never. Yeah. The what I find, and I have a similar problem with grilled cheese, is that making it even on both sides of the bread mm-hmm. is hard with we're going to call it toad in the hole.
Yeah. Well, and it's the structural integrity, right? Because if your bread slice isn't big enough, you've got – things are getting a little wonky. I need a good surface area for the bread so that by cutting the hole to put the egg in, we're not going to have any wonkiness going.
Yes. How do you cut the hole?
I haven't made one in a long time, but I'll just use a glass or whatever.
That's what daddy does.
Yeah, I don't own cookie cutters.
No, I mean, I have a lot of cookie cutters, but none of them are like perfectly circular. I just use
a you need like a good circle.
Yeah, that's right.
Those are amazing.
Yep. I do, you know, I don't mind just a plain old fried egg. Here's where I struggle. I like to use, when possible, a cast iron skillet. We have some nice ones. They're old. They're seasoned. They're good. Occasionally, that yields egg problems when things stick. Mm-hmm. So it has to be like the right temperature with the right shit in it. And I feel like I haven't totally mastered it. Now the cast iron, like, generally it's fine. You put butter in it. It's fine. But yeah.
Have you ever done or had a basted egg?
Basted with what?
It's when you put like too much butter in the pan, and as it's cooking, you baste the top of it with the butter.
Ooh, that sounds good.
It's very good. You can basically do it, you know, without a spoon. You know, I'll just splash some of that butter up there. It doesn't make the biggest difference. I went to a breakfast place once, and one of the people in the large group that I was with asked specifically for a basted egg, and it was like, I am going to kill you. Hmm. That is the douchiest thing you could say.
Yeah, I wouldn't order that out.
In a normal restaurant. Do you know what basted eggs are? Could I get a basted egg?
Yeah.
You freak.
Yeah, I agree. Don't do that. Don't do that. You know what I was thinking about the eggs? I struggle, and I know – look, I could look this up even now. When I poach eggs, which I do frequently, they're a little easier to deal with than soft-boiled, right, in that the process of getting them out of the pan and into your mouth is faster.
Yeah. Do you have a poaching pan?
That's the thing, is it just kind of disincorporates the egg. So is it a poaching pan? Is that what I need to keep the white together?
Yeah. So it's like I have one that I never use, but when I do, it's very useful because it's like a water bath and then a little insert on top that's the perfect poached egg size. And you could go to like a Goodwill and get one for a dollar or something. Like they're easy to acquire. I will say, have you done hard-boiled or soft-boiled eggs in the air fryer?
You know what? I was just reading about this, and I have not, and I am very curious about it.
I am never boiling eggs again is how
– Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good to know.
I forget exactly what the number was, but it's like 8 minutes for a soft-boiled egg.
That's pretty good.
And you don't have to boil it. I'll do like a few at a time and have a little bowl with ice in it. But it's just like hard-boiling eggs just feels like such a production usually.
Oh, yeah.
And just chucking it in the air fryer. Let's go.
What is your opinion of egg salad?
I'm very particular about it.
Same.
I really like Japanese egg salad, like a QP. There was a restaurant in Echo Park called Kanbi that has long since closed, but they did the best egg salad I'd ever had. Because it's like soft boiled with QP and some other stuff, and then they would slice a couple of soft boileds in half and shove them in the center of the sandwich. So you had some intact ones.
What a great idea.
And they served it on big, fluffy milk bread, and it was the greatest.
That does sound good.
I otherwise will not touch. I don't like chicken salad. I don't really like tuna salad, and I don't like egg salad.
Fair.
Yeah. If I'm going to eat something in that vein, it'll be like, I feel like what fills that hole in my diet, I say this like I've eaten this in the past 5 years, but a cream cheese and olive sandwich.
Oh, wow. Yeah. See, I don't do that. That's too much for me. No. I love egg salad. Just I want eggs, mayo, salt, pepper. That's it. That's all I need. Same thing with tuna. I don't want fucking celery in it or any of that shit.
Oh, fuck that. No.
Tuna, mayo, celery salt. That's it.
Oh.
Chicken salad, yeah, you can put more stuff in there and it's fine with me. You know what I really love, which is what? Something that you see in England more, is a coronation chicken, a.k.a. curried chicken salad.
Oh, which yeah.
Which is great.
When Rachel and Audrey and I go to the little tea, high tea place, that's like one of their best sandwiches is the little curried chicken.
Oh, I love it. That was a go-to. You just see it everywhere in England.
I'm shocked we don't have it here because it is very tasty.
You see it around like on menus from time to time, but it's not like a go-to thing. It's because at least in most of the country, you know, the curry is not like a regular part of the diet as it is in the UK. Right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Now we should move on to our next topic, which is breakfast burritos.
Yes.
Because we did promise we would talk about it and people are clamoring.
I know.
For it.
I would just like to respectfully thank whoever first was like, what if we put hash browns in here?
Mm-hmm.
Or tater tots, excuse me.
Well, there we go. That's it.
It's the tater tots, man. I've been frustrated trying to find a good proximal. So there's a place that is near me that is a little bit further than I usually want to walk, but that's my favorite breakfast burrito. It takes them like half an hour to make it and it's like a stand. So you just kind of have to sit around, but yeah, it's scrambled egg, cheese, bacon, tater tot, and it's wonderful. I had one recently that had kielbasa in it instead of bacon, and that was really fucking good. And then I ordered some from, I think it was Tu Madre. I got a couple of breakfast burritos from there that would be good, but they were inexplicably sweet. And I've gotten them a couple of times, and I cannot figure out why they're sweet. It's not like something on the meat. It's like, why is this sweet? I don't understand why it's sweet. Otherwise, this is perfect.
That's weird. No. And eggs? No, thank you. No. There is a really good tater tot breakfast burrito at this place called The Rooster on Pico in LA. And it is easily my favorite breakfast burrito in town.
Wow.
And it's not close to me. It's like a haul to get there. But some mornings I'll make that haul. One morning. This is an amazing story. I got there and they were very busy because someone had phoned in an order for like 100 burritos.
Oh, God.
And I had driven whatever. Oh, I know. I was even like across town because I had dropped Audrey off. It was over the summer at camp. And I drove like – I had nothing better to do that day and I really wanted this burrito. So I was like, fuck it. I'm driving 50 minutes to get this fucker. And I get there. And there were only two people working, and these poor, poor people were just overwhelmed. And I said, hi, I'd like a breakfast burrito, please. And they said, it'll be an hour and a half. And I was like – and there was no one else in the store, by the way. And I was like, an hour and a half for one burrito? And the guy was like, yeah, we have a really big order. And I was like, is there any way, I could get one of those burritos from the order? And he kind of looks around. He's like – I got you. And he was very nice about it. But I did have to push like just a tiny bit.
Yeah. I mean, that's you leave a fat tip and you get out of there with your burrito.
That's 100% what I did. Yep.
So what's special about that one?
It's just, there are a couple things. One is the tater tots, which make it really good. Egg is good consistency, jammy even.
Ooh.
They have a really, really good, like, creamy avocado sauce.
Oh, shit.
They give you two salsas, one red, one kind of green. And the sauces are fucking dope. So it's just it's a great breakfast burrito. I highly recommend it.
I want one so bad right now.
I know. I will gladly pick you up some morning and go get breakfast burritos with you because –
That sounds great.
That would be fun.
We could turn into an episode.
That's, yeah, indeed. Milk our friendship for content as we have for
4 years now. My favorite thing is because my appetite is so small, one breakfast burrito is too, like, I can just cut that in half and I'm good.
Yes. Yeah.
So if I go somewhere, I get two of them and it's like, I'm living large, baby.
Yeah. That's yeah, I can generally, if I eat a breakfast burrito, I'm not eating lunch.
I don't. The thing is that I never, ever actually eat them in the morning, because that is a I need to lie down food and not an I am energized food. I almost never. I don't like eating. I love, like, breakfast food is my favorite food. I won't eat it actually at breakfast.
Hmm. Look at you. That's what do you eat at breakfast?
Coffee.
Okay. You don't eat breakfast.
No, I should.
I remember being like you once when I was your age.
Yeah, it's not healthy or sustainable, but that is simply my vibe. I have not had many breakfast tacos, though.
Well, they're fucking awesome. So I, you know, it's an obvious jump, right, from what if it was only mostly surrounded by a tortilla, or a smaller tortilla, and basically the same thing. But the I first learned I never had them until I visited Austin, in which
home
they're like
state, question mark?
A thing. Well, home state here, but home state was not a thing in LA, and I visited Austin before ever moving here. So right. Like breakfast burritos I'd had forever, but breakfast tacos, I remember visiting Texas and someone's being like, you got to get breakfast tacos here. And they were great. And then there was this place which used to be like a tiny place and now they've like franchised called Torchy's in Austin, which used to be like a roadside truck. And now is like there was one in Denver and it's all like hipstered up. So that's changed a bit. But home state in LA does do pretty good breakfast burritos. And I find myself there somewhat often. Sorry,
we're talking tacos, soft tacos.
Yes, I've never seen a hard shell breakfast taco. That would be that's like an international criminal court type. That you're going to the Hague, actually the egg, right? If if you do a hard shell breakfast taco, what the fuck is going on there?
Okay, how would you? You've been tasked with making a hard shell breakfast taco that doesn't get you sent to the egg. How do you handle a replacement for the hard shell? Because I think you could do like either, God, this would not hold together, but like hash browns in a very thin layer.
For the shell?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I don't want to get sent to the egg.
I think what you could do, yeah, you know what? You probably could find a version of that, but you'd have to eat it fast, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I do like the idea of like a potato shell.
Mm-hmm.
I bet that would be good. Okay,
empty
I could
out.
See that
oh,
happening.
Have yeah. you had Taco Bell's breakfast Crunchwrap?
No, I've been to Taco Bell approximately once in the last 4 years.
Uh-huh. Well, it's really good.
And you've been approximately once in the last 4 hours?
You know, I've been good about not going to Taco Bell in the past while here, just because I love it so much. The breakfast Crunchwrap is slightly smaller than the regular Crunchwrap, and it eschews the flat taco piece for a big old, like, McDonald's-style hash brown.
I'm sorry. As soon as someone says big old, the word dick just naturally must go after that. And I will never hear someone say big ol' without thinking dick.
All right.
But please continue.
Valuable contribution.
Say that sentence again.
It's smaller than the regular Crunchwrap. And instead of the hard, flat taco shell, it's a hash brown, a big McDonald's hash brown style thing. And it's very, very good.
Okay, great. Does it have cheese in it?
Yes, it does. You and your cheese thing, we've spoken about it so many times, and I know there are a bunch of exceptions. It's just cheese makes life tolerable for me.
Indeed, in a hard shell taco, like a hard shell beef gringo style taco, I like the Mexican cheese in that. Make that a breakfast taco and I'm out. Nope.
Ah, that's fascinating to me. Just your mind.
Yeah, that's what can I say? I'm just a little bit off.
Normal people scare me.
Is that like a Chess King or Hot Topic t-shirt?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. But there's also one of the tattoos in Cyberpunk 2077 that you can have. Because you can't pick like individual tattoos. You just have to pick like general skin that UVs to your whole body. One of them is in the American Horror Story font, Normal People Scare Me. And it's like,
that's very funny.
That is a Spencer's gift shirt, baby.
Okay. Well, okay. Here. Let's design, I mean, talk out, if not design, a Hot Topic, let's say late 2000s t-shirt. What does it say? Who's on it?
Something
this
about
is,
bacon.
I suspect about the age you were going to Hot Topic and buying
yes,
stuff,
indeed.
Right? When
indeed.
You're 13-ish. Am I getting
yeah.
this right? Yep, of course.
Yeah, thereabouts.
There's like Nightmare Before Christmas stuff and Invader Zim and all that stuff. It's all there, right?
Yeah. But bacon. Bacon was big. Mustaches were big. I know that's trending more towards hipster, but, you know, Hot Topic's trajectory of incorporating a lot of Disney IP, you go into any one of the stores now and half of it is just like Ariel dress, but it's a skater dress.
Right.
That was beginning. And I think the part of that was bacon and mustaches.
Wait. I think I know what it is.
What?
Ready? It's Jack Skellington, right? Mm-hmm. But he's got like a bacon mustache and it says The Nightmare Before Breakfast.
Companion pajama pants that are the Jack Skellington head, but it's cracked in half and a yoke is coming out.
Oh,
it's
great.
It's like a
very
step
good.
And repeat all over
yep.
it.
Yep, that's great.
Yours is great. That's amazing. No, it'd be like his little cravat, his bow tie
yep,
would be
yep.
bacon, right?
That's much better, yes, than the mustache. Exactly.
Yeah,
so
I had
he's got
a shirt.
His outfit. And maybe his egg, this might be too much, but his head could be like a skillet with egg eyes.
Hat on a hat. I think it's hat on a hat.
Okay,
I think
fair
I
enough,
nailed
fair
it.
Enough.
I had a shirt from Hot Topic that I loved when I was that age of 13, 14. I wore this until it fell apart in high school. It was a navy blue shirt and it had Darth Vader on it. And in the Star Wars font, it said, "Too epic to fail."
Wow. That's, I would wear that right now without.
Yeah, I wore that to every major test that I had to take.
Oh my God.
And it bit me in the ass a bunch.
When you were not quite as epic as you thought you were and failed.
No, the hubris to wear that to any math test. I mean, I had my entire school career was fucking straight A pluses, pleasure to have in class, and then failing math. I don't think I ever actually straight failed math by the end of the year. I certainly failed semesters, but I would regularly get math tests back and be like, oh boy, hope I passed. And it would be like 32%.
I was going to say,
so many times.
You didn't straight fail math, you bisexual failed math. Right. To everyone, new listeners, this is what Layden does when she thinks it's really funny.
That's a good one, Brian.
Yeah, I know.
Do you have any New Year's resolutions, Brian?
1080.
Fuck, you took my joke. The incredibly obvious, easy joke that I was going to go for.
No, I don't make New Year's resolutions. I do think... And because I look, as far as I'm concerned, every day is a new year. So why treat January 1st differently than, I don't know, you know, September 4th or whatever. But I will say this year, I think I am going to do one of my – see, I hesitate to call it dry January because of how wet I make people. I was trying not to say it, and then I had to say it because it would be a betrayal of my core principles.
Well, if you weren't going to say it, I was going to say it.
Yeah, I know. Okay. But what I was getting at is I won't be drinking for a little while. Not that I went overboard or ever really do, but I was like, you know, cut back a little bit. Why the fuck not? It's good for me. So I'm going to... Is it a resolution? No. Am I basically not going to drink for an extended period of time? Yes. But other than that, you know, I, What am I meaningfully going to change about my life that I really want to? I'm sure I can think of a few things, but I don't feel like I'm really fucking anything major up. So, you know, status quo. What about you?
Hey, a New Year's resolution doesn't have to be stop fucking this thing up so bad, even though it usually is.
That's true.
It can just be a nice thing.
I had a friend once who made an all-timer New Year's resolution, which was stop listening to people tell him about their dreams, which I love because it's not really a thing he was doing. It's more about other people.
Yeah.
I thought that was very funny.
There's a Tumblr post that was like, think about making your New Year's resolutions just like little tiny pleasant things like see more frogs.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't have one. I don't make them. Speaking of hubris, no. I will say, though, that since we hit 2024, I think I have drawn more in the past 48 hours than I have in the past 8 months combined. And that's not an exaggeration.
Wow.
I think sometimes I just have to take a very long break and then I sit down to draw again and I'm like, oh, shit, I can still do this. This is a thing that I can do.
That's great.
A lot of it was pornography, but, fun, great. I missed doing that.
Can you be at all more specific about that?
No.
Okay, great.
Just that, like, in terms of anatomy practice, I think drawing porn is, like, one of the fastest ways to improve because it's
sense.
Like, here's maximally two different body
naked.
Types. Yeah. They have to be at scale. They need to be interacting with each other. There's, like, flesh squishing around. You get a bunch of different like angles and positions, and it's great practice. It's very fun. Mm-hmm. I recommend it. Hey, everybody, draw more porn in 2024.
That's a great resolution.
A lot of it wasn't porn. A lot of it was concept art for a thing that I'm working on, and then taking a little breaky to do a little nakey
porn. A nakey breaky. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Congratulations, question mark. Okay.
Thank you. No, exclamation mark.
Exclamation mark. I do like the positive resolutions. Do fun, small things that are easily achievable. Great.
Yeah.
I think that's good. Yeah, I've never made resolutions. I could not care less about them because
– I mean, the beginning of my last year literally was kicked off within the first hour of vomiting on myself in a lift and then rapidly entering mental health treatment shortly thereafter. So
yes,
really, my only one is do not have to go back to the nut house, which I'm feeling pretty good about that one. So
great. Well, I can bring back the soundboard if it would help.
If you bring back the soundboard, you're going to have to drive me back there.
That's fine. I'll hook up the soundboard while we're in the car. Oh, that's a great idea. A little car soundboard. Oh, wait. Do I want to stay married, though?
I, in fact, set up a soundboard on my Stream Deck a very long time ago, but I've just never figured out how to connect it to this so I can bother you with it. I know in the past we've talked about doing a dueling soundboards, and I think it would be really funny / totally unlistenable. But I'm flipping through my collection of sounds now, which you are a psycho and you only put text. I made icons for everything.
Well, had I had more time and ability to put icons, I would have.
I'm repeatedly, you can't hear it, but I'm repeatedly pressing my button that's Biden saying skill issue.
Skill issue. That's very funny. Let's go, Brandon, of course.
Another episode I would like to do that we almost did, and then I think we had to cancel the recording because of aforementioned Nuthouse visit, that we were going to do a VTuber episode.
Yes, correct.
And I think... maybe not quite that, but at the very least, a voice changer episode I think would be completely insufferable and very funny.
I think what we should do is a voice changer mini and then see how it feels.
That is probably wise, yeah.
Why don't we do that? Now, what kind of voice changer would you want to put on me? I feel like the – yeah, I mean, okay. I mean, just – yeah. Fair enough. I was going to say, you know, the ones that are like down like this kind, like the Buffalo Bill voice.
But I'd want that for me.
Always bother me. Right. That's right.
You would need like an anime girl one. There's like the default like subscriber notification one that all of the streamers use. That's just like a very breathy anime girl voice. I think that would be perfect for you.
There's a really annoying YouTuber that Audrey likes who has a voice that we could use for me. I'm referring to, and I apologize if other people love this person, Moody.
Oh my God. Okay. When I walked into the room, like the last time I was babysitting her and she was watching her videos, I was like, how old are these kids? And she went 22.
Yeah. They're your age, basically. Right.
Yeah. So is she using a voice changer or is her voice just that annoying?
I would guess voice changer, but I'm not sure. It feels a little not natural.
Yes, right. It also feels disturbing as I was watching that after she told me it's not actually kids, which I guess the benefit of like, well, at least it isn't kids with 2 million subscribers. But just like to pitch your voice down further to make kids content is a weird thing to do. But also the level at which this person and their friends speak, you wouldn't be able to guess that they could drink legally.
No, that's right.
What passes for comedy and content is tenuous.
Speaking of this, I sent you a tweet that was maybe the most relatable thing to me I have ever seen.
Oh, yeah. And I wrote online a reply to it and I sent it. And then my phone was like, not sent, a full 2 days later. So okay. I did not mean to rudely sit on it.
No,
like
the message
that was not sent is.
Well,
let me read
the tweet first and then you can reply to it in real time.
And I'll send you proof too.
Great.
Go ahead, read the tweet.
So the tweet, oops, wait a minute. There we go. The tweet was, I really don't want to see millennials and Gen Z making fun of boomers anymore because the way many of you watch staged TikTok skits and respond to them like they're documentaries is frankly nuts.
And I'm sending you proof that this message was not sent. That is true. My response was, I think I hate Gen Z more than I hate boomers somehow, which is not exactly true, but
that's right.
Sometimes it's people falling for outrage marketing is
oh my God, you should know better. How is it working? That should work on people my age and older. Not
it's the same people who say you are not immune to propaganda. Neither are you. What do you think this is?
The way when I'm on TikTok and I see TikTok comedy like the surprising my wife with a blah blah blah, and it is the most staged and rehearsed bullshit. Mm-hmm. And people and the responses are completely wholly credulous. I legitimately don't understand it.
Yeah. Waiter scolds influencer for, I don't know, making ahagao faces during, like, it's all please, for the love of God. Another one is like people watching the really nasty like food waste videos essentially and being like, this is, who would even do that? And it's fetish content. It's fetish content.
Yes, that's right.
People's inability to spot fetishes also drives me goddamn insane.
Oh, I know. It's dumb. Like
why would they even do that?
Yeah.
Someone's jerking off to it.
Yeah, me.
Yep, me too. Well,
on that note.
Pretty good, Mitty.
Yes, I'd say this was a I was going to say I got it. Do it.
An excellent mini.
There we go. Great. That's better than what I had. And I'm not even going to say mine.
I have to go step into traffic now. All right.
Don't. You know, part of me responsibly was like, tell her not to do that. But then I was like, is that patronizing? And then I was like, no, maybe, but it's funnier.
I'm girl bossing, Brian, okay?
Yes, you are.
If I want to girl boss across the street, I'm going to do it.
Well, good luck with that.
All right. Thank you. Well, bye. See you, everybody.
Bye. Okay. Here we are.
Wow. Amazing.
It is amazing.
Do you want to relay what happened when I got on this call?
Yeah, well, we started to record, and I thought it would be fun to have my family in the room because Layton is one of our favorite people. And the internet was being internet-y, and I said, hey, your connection's a little off. And Layton, in full view of Audrey, went, fucking shit. And then I said, Audrey's here too. Now, to be fair, I did not inform you that a child was listening to you, and it would not have been something you would have presumed. So...
No, it is not a thing that I would have presumed.
It's fine.
I just heard, was Rachel in the room also?
Everybody was in the room.
Okay, yeah, I heard very loud laughter. Okay, you're coming in as mono for me for some reason, and
I don't know.
Wait, there we go. Okay, I think my aux cable, you know, I think if I just hold it in place, say more words. Great, great. So I just need to manually hold the aux cable in my...
That's weird.
I think I have rolled over this cable like one time too many. So that's... Right. That's
I used
great.
To have...
That's amazing.
I haven't talked to this person in many years, but a Serbian friend who anytime... She had a great way of saying that she thought something was odd, where she would go, "That is so weird." And anytime someone says something like "that's weird," I think of this person going, "That is so weird."
Yeah, this is awesome too because I just got these really nice, you know, new headphones because the blue iconic ones that I usually wear for these recordings are every time I put them on, it leaves particulates all over my head.
Oh, because they're shedding.
Yeah, but this new pair, great using Bluetooth. For wired, the way that it's designed doesn't let you get the aux cable flush with the port, which is so unbelievably dumb and I imagine is contributing to this
that
problem.
Sucks.
You know, it's natural. I got onto this call already heated because I think I've now spent 5 hours troubleshooting Cyberpunk 2077 shit. And this is after spending 6 hours yesterday doing the same thing. So along with... Emotionally,
what are you,
being
you're installing
frazzled.
A mod, is that right? I saw you posting about this.
Well, okay, so there was a 2.0 update, right? And I updated everything to work with that. But then there was a 2.1 update, and then I didn't update things, and I had a very frustrating weekend. And so last night I was like, you know what? I earned a little treat. I'm going to play some Cyberpunk 2077. And I had to completely reinstall everything because the game wouldn't open. Like I had to clean install, clean mod install, troubleshoot all of the mods. I finally get it open. There are like the way that the photo mode mod tools have changed. It's just I've been trying to troubleshoot spawning a Johnny Silverhand into the scene and then making him do stuff so I can force him to do terrible things in this game. So that has not been working. And I've just run into repeated issues. And so that is where I left off before getting on this call. And then immediately not only have internet-y problems, but also I am manually holding my aux cable in.
Yeah.
But you know what? This frustrating weekend has all been worth it. And I can't disclose the thing that is happening tomorrow that I will be missing a record for. But aside from all the other records I've missed due to being either depressed or shitting my brains out, of which there have been many of those, I think you understand that this is the most valid non-sickness reason I've ever ditched.
It's a good one.
It is.
I want to talk about a Discord comment that came out today from Rue.
Oh.
Who is a real-life zookeeper.
Oh, yes.
And so we mentioned...
I thought I was about to be confronted with my various sins.
No, not in public. Not in public. I would never ambush you like that. But Rue...
That is patently untrue, but go ahead.
Fine. Agree to disagree. Rue listened to our latest episode where we talked about how zoos will trade animals, and I want to read this comic because I thought it was really great. I had to pause listening to the episode to say, hi, I'm a zookeeper. And yeah, zoos will trade animals through the SSP, Species Survival Plan, which I describe as basically a zoo dating service. It also takes into account things like our zoo might not have room for a breeding pair of something, but can take an older one so that another zoo would have room. As for non-exotics, like native wildlife or farm animals, ours are usually rescues. And, to add on to this, and yes, sometimes there are am I the asshole type posts and other drama. Smiley face with closed eyes.
God bless you, Rue.
What a great comment.
Better than I could have imagined.
I want to know.
The zoo dating
service. I want to know everything about zoo drama. Everything.
Yeah.
Like, just every, I mean, I want to know about the interpersonal drama between the zookeepers. I want to know about the animal to person drama. And I want to know about the inter-animal drama. Like,
yeah. You know, who hates who?
Who hates who?
Who's icing
That's
who
right.
out?
Like, are peacocks as big of dick bags as I think they are? The answer is, I'm sure, yes. Peacocks are complete assholes.
Who are the most promiscuous of the animals?
Oh,
I'm not sure. I don't know if I actually want to know.
That's a good question. I would imagine monkeys definitely love to fuck, right?
Yeah, that was my first
thought. A lot of times you put those monkeys, like, there's a lot of them, right, together. Like, especially chimps. You always see a lot of chimps, right?
Yeah. And children go to
children
zoos.
Children go. Why can't I talk? Oh, my God. Children go to zoos, and they watch monkeys do horrible, horrible things. Surely I told you my chimpanzee story.
It's
not really worth telling, except I saw a chimp do something so unspeakably awful that it has scarred me for life. And every time I get near the chimps at the LA Zoo, I think about this thing and how it happened near me and how it horrified a group of like 30 people. But it was really, really,
awesome.
It may be the grossest single thing I've seen a living creature do. And I have a child.
And you have to live with yourself.
I live with
day.
Myself and I do everything. You think you know how many body fluids there are, but I guarantee you, you don't. I'm just getting
breaking
warmed
new
up.
Ground yeah. on it. on inventing new bodily fluids.
That's true, because you can combine them, Leighton, is what I'm saying, if you're careful.
Yeah, it's like combining ranch and French dressing for a little
That's
French.
That's right. Well, I have something that I call Blum.
Brian, I was literally about to ask or comment that you are actually the real progenitor of
yep,
Blumhouse
thank you.
Studios.
I figured we'd
for the
be
exact
on the same
reason, because
you're,
yeah, the Wecht home is the original Blumhouse.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay, I still really want to order a decant of the Secretions Magnifique perfume that smells like blood and cum.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And for us to react to it live. Now, the issue is that I don't think we could do it in your studio because I think you wouldn't be able to get the smell out.
I don't want to do it in this studio.
Unless
no.
I would assume that you already have a system for getting rid of all the blum that goes on in there.
Yeah, but more so to clean it rather than remove the odor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would shudder to put Luminol in that studio.
Oh, no.
Studio.
You definitely don't want to. I had to install reverse blacklight technology. Yeah. So I leave for Toronto on Thursday because I will be recording a new cover album with Torp and Jim Roach and Dan
wow.
and Jarek, the team, the boys. The boys are back in town.
Wow.
And I am very excited.
I'm happy for you. That's very exciting. Are you going to do a tour diaries episode? I mean, not tour, but
yeah.
production diaries episode?
I think I shall. Because we're going to have a lot of fun people around who can talk about stuff. Yeah, why not? We're going to be at a studio I like, and it's going to be great.
That's awesome. And you recently got back from a trip.
I did. I just got back last night from a quick jaunt to MIT to do the MIT Mystery Hunt, which was one of the most massive hunts they've ever had. It went into Monday, which is relatively rare these days for a mystery hunt. And we had a great time. Saw a bunch of cool people. you know, friends, old college friends, and some newer friends, solved a bunch of puzzles. I have to say, the puzzles for us this year were sometimes with puzzles, you see one where you're like, fuck yes, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever. I thought the puzzles were solid, but I didn't have any. And this is just this is not to knock the quality. This is just a personal reaction. I didn't have anywhere I was like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever. But also, I thought the puzzles were really well done and we had a lot of fun. So it was
Greek
mythology themed. You were initially busting out of the underworld. And then we got to the overworld through there's a certain type of puzzle that they call a runaround, where you got to like run around the campus and find different things. And there was one of those where I was a guide, like escaping the underworld. So I couldn't look behind me, as per myth. And I was listening to an audio recording and gesturing at things as I walked through the steam tunnels of MIT. It was pretty fun.
Wow, I love university steam tunnels.
Yeah, I mean, not quite steam tunnels, but like by, you know, through sub-basements that were open. No one broke into anything.
Yeah.
I love MIT. I've been doing this mystery hunt since the year 2000. When you were 3 years old.
Shit.
And, you know, I was a postdoc or researcher at MIT from 2004 to 2007. I have a lot of affinity for that place. And it's just fun to be back on campus and in Boston / Cambridge.
That is incredibly cool.
Yes, we got to.
I'm glad you
went
got to go.
My favorite breakfast restaurant, Sound Bites, in Ball Square in Somerville. And got to see a bunch of
what
friends.
What did you eat?
There is one thing I get at Soundbite. It's called Jimmy's Moroccan Eggs. And it's like eggs, vegetables like peppers and tomatoes with a shitload of cumin on it. It's like kind of poached eggs with cumin. And I love it. Now, here's the thing, Leighton, about Soundbites. And it is maybe the single greatest breakfast restaurant innovation of all time. And I can't understand why more places don't do this. Okay? Are you ready for this shit?
Yeah.
Get your own coffee. It's a small place. You walk towards the back. There's just a ton of mugs hanging around and some big coffee dispensers. And you just go up. You can get your own coffee. And it's a popular spot. So if you're waiting online to get in, you can go get your coffee and wait. How about that shit?
You said online.
Yeah, well, that's...
I always forget that that's your...
It's my
correct
my
way of saying
idiom
it.
Idiom for that.
What's the geographical division of inline versus online?
Basically, everybody says inline. Online is like a New York, New Jersey kind of thing, I believe. Yeah, I'm not
that's
even
weird.
Sure.
What's
if
your
it's
justification
a, I'm not
for
even
that?
Sure, if it's a Southern Jersey thing, there's no justification. It's just one of those like shifting prepositions that is what I grew up with.
Yeah,
there's online. No right or with that kind of it's like on accident versus by accident. Like I to me, on accident sounds awful, but
yeah, it's by accident.
That by accident, but a lot of people, and it's I think it's not regional. It might be more generational, or it might just be kind of half of people say on accident. I fell over on accident. I remember the first time I heard someone say on accident. I was like in my 20s, and I thought it was a joke. But no, it's just a lot of times with these, you know, these prepositions are just kind of random, right? And that's just what it is.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, of course, since I was a kid, online has come to mean a totally separate fucking thing, which is a lot, you know, which is very common. And so it's
indeed,
it is a source
of confusion. I feel like this isn't a geographical thing, but I feel like one of my weirder linguistic things is I so often drop the pronoun from the beginning of sentences,
such as
saying, like, instead of I'm going to go to the store, like it being an additional clause, period, going to go to the store. As
I think that's pretty common.
I don't know why I break it up like that. I guess so. It always like really stands out to me when I'm reading my writing where it's like, this is.
Yeah, I mean. But I don't think that doesn't seem to me that unusual. I think a lot of people would do that, maybe more so in spoken than written language.
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe it's that I translate it so hard to written, and then it's weird seeing my own, whatever. Oh my God, I'm so brain dead. I'm after this week, I'm just, my brain is mush.
Yeah, well,
it is leaking out of my ears. I am in a perpetual, I mean, you did actually useful things. I just dealt with a series of small annoyances that are building me up to have an explosive breakdown, which is incoming probably. Mm-hmm. Not on this record, but, you know, afterward. It's like, you know, when you know the next tiny inconvenience is when you're really going to lose your mind. That's where I am right now.
I know that feeling very well, Layton. Very well.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, okay, I can hear you.
I'm just saying, I'm used to that feeling. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, there was no follow-up to
that. Do I want to follow up with that? It's
You don't have to.
I'm just saying that's a feeling I'm used to. Like, what the fuck else can happen right now? And
yeah.
Well, especially once you have a child, where you're like, they do one more. Oh, my God. What? Like, there is just a certain amount of, what's the word I'm looking for? Bullshit power grabs that happen merely because they can, where you're like, this is not, the answer to the question, is this the hill you want to die on? When you ask that about a kid, the answer is always, yeah, of course. Of course, yeah, I don't care. I'm going to ruin everybody's life because of this thing merely to exert some form of control over life.
And a bunch of adults do that too, which is always a pleasure to run into.
Yes. Well, actually, that is kind of the theme of a thing I've been watching recently. I started watching Beef.
Oh, yes. How is it?
It's really great. It is really, really great. I'm 4 episodes in and I'm really enjoying it. So many, like, it's just, it's got a different feel than a lot of stuff I've watched in the past. It feels like its own thing. Got a lot of actors I like. I like Steven Yeun a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Ali Wong.
I like Ali Wong, right? But I don't know what I've seen her in as an actor before. I've seen her as a comic.
Mm. Yeah.
And she's one of these people where I'm like, she's just like kind of comically hot. Like, she's so attractive. And just think she's a gorgeous, gorgeous woman. And she's really...
And I really like her stand-up.
I really like her stand-up. And she is a great actor. Like, she's really, really crushing this thing. I knew Steven Yeun was a great actor.
That's awesome.
I've seen him in a bunch of stuff. But and then there are...
Oh, and your favorite show, The Walking Dead?
My favorite show, The Walking Dead, yes. Where else have I seen him? I've seen him in, like, rando parts and things.
Okja?
I never watched that. I feel like I saw him in a few sitcoms.
It's very bad.
What is it about? Okay, so I know nothing about the show except the thumbnail, which I can't clearly remember, and the title. So is it about – here's what I think it's about based on nothing.
Okay.
Is it like Cujo?
Okay. No. It's also a movie and not a show. Oh. God, I can't imagine if it was a show. But it's Bong Joon-ho's previous film, one of them. And God, it's bad.
Well, what's
it's
it about?
Really fucking bad. It's about a girl and she's like raising creatures that are used as a substitute. They're like synthetic meat, but she wants to save this particular creature while bad corporation wants to kill creature. I watched this when it came out, so my memory of it is really bad. The only good part, like Tilda Swinton's in it, Steven Yeun's in it, and it just feels, it's just not good. And the only good part is that Jake Gyllenhaal is like a Steve Irwin, like an unhinged Steve Irwin type, and spends most of the movie screaming. And whenever he gets to be a large ham, like in that or Velvet Buzzsaw, another terrible, way worse than Okja is. He's the one fun part.
Cool.
Yeah, it was very...
I'm looking up what I know him from. Sorry to Bother You. He was great in that.
He was in Sorry to Bother You?
And I think it's a pretty good, pretty big part, too. It's been a few years since I saw that. And also, he's the...
It's also... I also...
Invincible.
Oh, of course. I took an edible at the perfect point during Sorry to Bother You, where it hit, If you think through that movie, the major moment where it would be like the worst moment for an edible to hit, that's exactly when it hit, and it hit hard. That was a wild experience.
Yeah.
No, it's good.
What is your favorite euphemism or whatever for a blowjob? I mean,
Slarvendode.
Slarvendode is way up there. You know, I of course, for historical reasons, I really like beej.
Yeah, of course you do.
I think that
there's also something very satisfying about just saying suck and dick.
Yep, that's true. What I don't like is the phrase giving head. It's just distant.
Yeah. I mean, that one's a little bit more like sex gender neutral, at least.
Yeah, although I feel my preferred gender neutral term is going down. Right. That's
going down.
Like that's
a
good general term. Specifically for blowjob, Slarvendode is really, really good. That's way up there.
I think that's like objectively the funniest one.
I 100% think about it. I 100% agree with you. There's just something about beach that I always just, you know.
I think you might be alone in that.
Yeah. Well, I used it for years. As a term that I would say literally all the time.
Yeah. How many different euphemisms have you used for blowjob in your career?
Professionally or recreationally?
Memorialized in song.
Oh, that's a good question. For blowjob specifically, probably not that much, honestly. But for, you know, like junk, a lot more. You know, that's probably, I would imagine it's, you know, in the 100 range-ish. And it kind of depends on how you
count. That's pretty good. Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's a living.
It's a living.
Yeah. Were you thinking about the little bird from Flintstones when you say that?
Of course. Yes, I was. Yeah. Oh, thank you for clocking
that. Here's a question I was discussing with friends. And I think we've talked about this before, but I can't remember where you stand. Spaceballs, funny or not funny?
I don't care about it.
I don't like it. So many people like it. And I love Mel Brooks. That's the beginning of the end. That's where the tide turns.
Yeah, I was, you know, a big Star Wars child. Mm-hmm. And I did not enjoy it. And I would never watch it again of my own volition.
I mean, again, people I like in it. John Candy. Love John Candy. John Candy, one of the all-timers. Absolutely. But something about that movie, it's just like, it's too thirsty. Mel Brooks is always thirsty, but there's times when I really love it. Young Frankenstein, Blazing Saddles. What's the other classic ones? History of the World, Part One, you know, stuff like that. But after a while.
You know, there's a certain brand of comedic, over-the-top horniness that I find really, really grating. Yes. Because it doesn't feel true. I think there are so many ways that people can be funnily horny, and the way that you see it in comedies is just, like, not it.
Yes.
And I'm intentionally not imitating I'm not going to do that on a recording.
I'm not trying to get you to do it. I don't know what you're talking about specifically here.
Like over the top porny in public, the comedy is from like Jennifer Tilly's character in Liar.
Like Sex Pot.
Yes. That
Which always seems to me to mostly be men writing women, right? Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And it feels uncomfortable. Another notable example is I haven't seen Dinner for Schmucks
in years.
It's not a good movie. Okay, great. There's a lot of that in that movie.
Who's the person doing it?
I don't remember, but they're doing it to Steve Carell's very naive character. So there's an additional layer.
Speaking of that, what do you think about, like, for example, Elizabeth Banks in 40-Year-Old Virgin?
I don't think I've ever seen that movie all the way through. I've seen it in parts. and I don't remember her.
She is. I also, I think, at a bookstore who's like very horny.
I don't like Elizabeth Banks that much.
Okay. Women not supporting other women.
Yeah, I know. It's true. She was my least favorite 30 Rock partner.
Well, she also didn't really have anything to do in 30 Rock. Anything that funny, I thought. That, I didn't think that was a good character.
Yeah.
Let me say that.
No, it was like, this is on paper the perfect match for a Jack. But the way that the show works is that nobody is that person. And it shouldn't be another person. Like, the Liz Lemon, Jack Donaghy dynamic is a very different thing. And just having, like, another Jack is not. And, like, the North Korea arc.
Yeah, I agree with that. Guys? I thought that was dumb.
I was watching a ton of clips from 30 Rock on YouTube the other day. And so now my algorithm has been serving them up. And I hate that it's on fucking Peacock now.
It's on Peacock now.
So I can't just go in and rewatch it much as I would like to, unless I decide to pay for yet another streaming service.
I watched a terrible film on Peacock over the weekend.
Oh?
The Equalizer, starring Denzel Washington.
Why would you do that to yourself?
Well, because they just put out a third one, and I was like, there must be something to these movies. Denzel Washington's a great actor, so I was like, oh, I like Denzel. I'll watch this movie. Fucking awful. Just so dumb. Mm-hmm. Here to me is the most telling thing about that movie. It's set in Boston. I was like, this does not feel to me like Boston at all. And then I looked at the filming locations and it was filmed entirely in Boston. Like, and maybe that's because I don't know those parts of Boston where they filmed it. Like, this could be a me thing 100%. But I was like, this does not feel like a Boston movie. Maybe because it's about the Russian mob mostly, which is that a Boston thing? I don't fucking know. Like, it could be. That's not, I never hung out in those parts of Boston, but it, yeah, I thought it was pretty dumb. And he also, it's kind of like a John Wick thing where he's like preternaturally good at just wiping people out.
Yeah. But a thing I'm not interested in the same way that I'm no longer interested in alcoholic man with a dead wife tropes.
Yeah, I thought it was. I thought it sucked. And this, they made the third one just came out, and I didn't remember the first two coming out at all. I remember the Queen Latifah show.
Yeah, of course.
Which I watched a few episodes of, and the original one from the '80s. It's also, I think, maybe the dumbest fucking name for anything ever. Like the Equalizer. I mean, it should be called like the Murderator, because that's all he does.
I mean, that does sound like a fake movie on 30 Rock.
The Equalizer,
so,
or the Murderator?
For that. The Murderator. Oh, wait. Okay, so the Murderator is about a Reddit mod who becomes an extremist and then goes on. Actually, that's too close to real life.
Yeah, to keep the sub, like, functioning. Starts taking out people in real life.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on.
Starts taking out the trolls and the haters.
Here's the tagline. Ready? Kick. Ban, kill.
Yeah. Yeah, that's perfect. That is really perfect.
Thank
Good
you.
Job. The being filmed in Boston and not feeling like Boston thing reminds me of watching Curb Your Enthusiasm, and it's just areas of LA.
Oh my
I never
God.
Go to.
Like, I watched that thinking, I live here. I've lived here for close to 10 years now. Surely I would recognize something in this fucking show. And as far as I can tell, I've never been anywhere they've been, literally ever. Like, there's nothing in – I don't even know what neighborhood it's supposed to take place in. Somewhere on the west side, I guess. I don't fucking know.
Oh, I also didn't – I assumed that it was, like, north or, like, Pasadena-ish.
Oh, no. Pasadena. Larry wouldn't live in Pasadena. No way. No, it's too far away from, like, the studios. I think it's got to be maybe,
that's true,
like
– yeah.
It might be, like, Larchmonty, maybe, but –
There's
a whole section of things like over there where rich people live, but not the super duper rich people live. Like, it's not Beverly Hills, right?
Yeah.
But it's something not far
from it. Various affluent West Side communities.
Yes.
As well as in the adjacent cities of Beverly Hills, Culver City, and Santa Monica. God, the only reason I would go to Culver City is to go to the Museum of Jurassic Technology.
Actually, can I be honest with you? I like Culver City. There's a bunch of stuff.
I think it's fine. This is one of those things, La Dijonnaise, the French restaurant. That place is
Dear
awesome.
John's, I like over there. Tito's Tacos.
I've never been. It's one of those things where you know one person who sucks who lives there, and you just do not want to go there, so you don't run into them. That Culver City until recently was that, but it's been so soured by said experiences with that person that I just – it's like, okay, I can go back to Culver City now, and I don't really want to.
We end up there somewhat often because one of the Omasubi places, there's two Sunny Blues, one's in Santa Monica, one's in Culver. I will often go there with Audrey. And during the pandemic, we would go there and get takeout and sit outside and eat rice balls together, me and Audrey. And there's also good ice cream place there called Ginger's, which I like a lot. So I've been to randomly, like, not friends, but like friends of friends' houses in Culver, and they've always been fucking awesome. So I feel like there's cool shit over
there.
That's
great.
Yeah, but yes, the Museum of Jurassic Technology is fun. And I do like taking Audrey to run around HD Buttercup to look at stupid, expensive shit that no sane person would buy.
Oh, yeah, that place.
Yep. That place. Do you want to pay $5,000 for a giant playing card you can put on your wall? Well, guess what? You can.
And it's ugly. Okay, when I look at houses on Zillow, which I've had to not do of late because it depresses me too much, you know, in the LA area, and then also other places in the country where it's like, wow, boy, real estate here is sure abysmal. But there's a money cutoff point at which all decorations, the taste is gone, and it's everything over $4 million.
Oh yeah,
is unbelievably tacky. Even three, honestly, but the way that it's been going, I'm sure that's going to be the what is soon going to be very, very dated in the same way that like wide expanses of teak are very 90s, like this white circular mirror minimalist shit that's everywhere and it's so ugly. And like that is going to be the thing that future children are going to make like hour-long YouTube videos or whatever the fuck of like old 2010s.
You know what I really hate? And this is such a bougie, stupid thing to say, but I'm going to say it anyway.
That's this entire show, Brian.
These prefab fake farmhouses that you see everywhere. You know what I'm talking about?
I'm not
sure. So there's
a
specific style of like two-story suburban home. And I'm assuming this is everywhere, but it's certainly in LA, where they buy a lot, they knock it down, they put up a new thing, and they all look exactly the same. And they're like this they just have no character at all. And I really, really hate it. Like it's I don't understand why. Well, I understand why you might buy it. I don't understand why you'd want to buy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I think about home ownership, I would like a place with some character.
That's
please.
What I've always wanted. And my – as you know from visiting our place, and this has always been my go-to is get a bunch of stuff and kind of mishmash it together. And
that's the only
style I'm ever interested in. If I lived in a home that felt designed, I think I would feel weird.
Yeah. I mean, the dream for me is a Victorian mansion with none of the frustrating.
Yeah, 100%. Or I really do love like craftsman style homes.
Or anything
awesome.
With like an extremely dated all pink bathroom.
Sure. Very 50 style kitchens with like the kind of rounded edges. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh,
love
yeah.
Those.
Black and white kitchen tile must
absolutely.
Have.
Love that. Like it should look – don't buy one of those Smeg things, which I'm sure are far too expensive, but something are based on originally. That's what you want.
Yeah. Also, you're going to make the most aesthetically pleasing looking little vintage things, and the name that you stamp on them is Smeg.
It's like –
that's unreal.
It's like
I knew somebody who had one of the fridges, and it's like the tiniest fridge you've ever seen. You can't fit anything in there.
I remember when the Jennifer Garner movie 13 Going on 30 came out, which I've never seen. But I was traveling.
Really?
And, I've never seen it, but I was traveling in Europe at the time, and I was in Denmark. And I will always remember the Danish movie poster for 13 Going on 30 was 13 snart 30. snart. I always like that. Snart, like the Like, there's a picture of Jennifer Garner. She's gorgeous. Like, this sexy woman on this poster and the word snart.
The sexy woman who's a 13-year-old in a grown-up body. We're just doing big, but creepier.
Yes, very creepy idea.
I have to send you... So I sent you some very depressing snippets from my childhood notebooks that really screamed someone should have intervened here. But there was a very funny one that... directly inspired by 13 Going on 30, because it was like a little chapbook that we had to put together of like the stuff that we did over the year, and they'd laminate it, which would be very exciting. So this was me talking about what my dream job would be, and I'd like for you to read this
right
story.
Now?
No, I'd like for you to read it out loud, honestly.
Are you texting it to me?
Yeah, I am. So 13 Going on 30, it's big, but the girl works at a fashion magazine in the early 2000s. So, and there's a lot of Maroon 5, and I know how much you love Maroon 5.
Okay. Hold on. Which is the first
also
page
describe
of what
the
I
image.
Want to be when I grow up?
It's the one with, it's the one with the picture is the first one.
What I want to be when I grow up. And there is a woman with like, I don't know. Shoulder a little longer than shoulder length, brown hair, working at a counter that says quartz, spelled incorrectly, crystals, and quartz crystals, fashion designing, when I grew up. All right. Yes, sir, I will fill your order immediately, I said into the phone. I leaned back in my chair. It was always busy in my office. I leaned over and talked into the intercom. Can someone please get me some coffee? It's 12:30 a.m. and I'm still getting calls. I turned off the intercom and looked up. My office was all windows. The city lights winked at me. I took a few moments to relax. Suddenly, I was shooken awake by my cell phone. What? I asked groggily. Before the caller could answer, I found myself saying, I'm sorry, but please call me when I'm awake. I hung up.
All caps.
All caps. I hung up and shoved my cell phone in my pocket. I was always cranky when I had to work late. Finally, someone brought me some coffee. I drank it black. I looked at my schedule. 1 a.m. Finish winter line. I shut my notebook. Then I pulled out my sketch pad. I started to design some clothes. Ring! Ugh, I yelled. I picked up the phone. Layton? I scowled. That's my name. I said dryly. You can go home now, my secretary said. The caller hung up in fear of getting yelled at. I grabbed my bag and darted to the elevator. When I got home, I fell asleep instantly on my couch.
That was my that's a description of my dream job at age 9. That's
where you're working very late.
And abusing my employee. Yep.
Wow. Also,
fuck?
You work at a crystal store, but you're also a designer? Or quartz crystals is the name?
No,
of the...
It was the name of the company.
Did you know you were spelling it wrong? Oh,
no,
that would
of course
be funny.
Not. Yeah,
and
quarter
wait, how
designs.
Old are you when you're writing this ish?
Nine.
So you're Audrey age.
Oh, my God.
You're an Audrey.
Yeah, so that was the. Some early Leighton Gray writing and
pretty
also...
great. That's good writing.
Thanks, she said dryly.
Ugh.
Yeah. It's very funny reading through, because I had... There's stuff from second grade, third grade, fourth grade, and then some middle school stuff. And, you know, fascinating watching me acquire language and the ability to spell and
speak. Right, good handwriting.
Thank you very much. But another thing that's so deeply ingrained literally from second grade is like humor as a defense mechanism. Like there are so many like actual bits in there from being 7. They're not good bits, but they're still bits. And it just continues. And for the grimmer ones, as I sent you, that we won't discuss, every extremely grim statement is followed by a joke. So I've stayed the same. That's one thing.
I also live with a little bit machine right now who's doing a lot of her thing since I've come back in the last day has been a lot of, that's great, Daddy. You go on with that.
Wow.
Where she, so I woke up, I slept in today. Everyone had off from work and school. And so.
What's sleeping in for you?
Oh, 8.
Same.
Normally, I aim for 6:30, but I'm up at 7. Rachel leaves for work and takes Audrey to school on the way with her. But I want to always have morning time with Audrey. So, and Rachel is usually the point person in the morning, I'd say these days, almost all the time. But I want to make sure I'm up to be there. And this morning I slept in, I knew Audrey was up, and I called her in, and she comes darting into the bedroom, lays down next to me, and just starts yammering about Minecraft endlessly. She's wearing new Minecraft pajamas. And then she's like, and then I got this mod, and then the mod, and I was like, oh my, like, whoa. The first thing that happened to me this morning was Minecraft facts, and I love it so much. It's I love having.
What a perfect alarm clock.
My little nerd. It's the best.
6:30 is, I think, the perfect wake-up time. And this is not me imposing. If you sleep in lifelong noon sleeper here until very recently, 6:30, because if I wake up at 4 or 5, which I genuinely really love Same. Doing, it's always an exciting treat. I don't use an alarm clock at all anymore. Wow. Like, it's fully ingrained. And I will wake up anywhere from 4 to 6:30. And if I sleep until 8, I'm like pissed off because I didn't get to watch the sun come up. Because those dark hours before the sun comes up, having a little coffee, doing a little reading. Ugh. Yep. Couldn't amazing. I can't believe I didn't have an appreciation for it earlier in life. You get to see a sunset. Nobody's around. There's no traffic. You just hang out. It's vibing. And if you have work to do on a freelancer schedule, you can like get it done by 10 and then go to sleep. Like before anybody else is awake, you have gotten all of your shit done. And then you can just fuck around.
Here's the thing I've noticed. Like when I'm traveling, I am... Like I get up and I will like if there's like a gym or whatever, I'll just go immediately. And it's easy. I want to do it. If I'm at home, getting me to exercise in the morning is like fucking pulling teeth. And I don't understand is some psychological thing where it's I was thinking about this too. I think it's similar to I'm the best at answering emails when I'm like like when I was a scientist, when I'm like listening to a talk, when I'm sitting somewhere. Like somewhat passively listening to something, man, I'll crank out emails all day, but sit me down at my desk to like answer a bunch of emails. Whew, good fucking luck. So
I am most productive with podcast work. And I don't mean doing this show. I mean any work I can do while also watching something or listening to a podcast. I am so fucking efficient.
Largely the same.
Which is great because I'm a writer. So I can't.
I'm a fucking musician. Can't listen to podcasts while I.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. I got to go. I do stuff.
Cool. Me too. I got to do horrible things to Keanu Reeves in Cyberpunk 2077.
Enjoy yourself.
Thanks. Okay.
Get that Blum flowing. Oh, yeah. That's right. No, that's the sound. That's the sound I make.
Brian, we'll see you guys on Friday. I will not kisses when I am back on. Hopefully, I will have a tale.
I hope so. All right.
Me too. All right. Bye-bye.
Late Night is produced by Brian Wecht and Leighton Gray. Sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/LeightonNight. Follow us on Twitter at @LeightonNight, on Instagram at @Leighton_Night, or email us at LeightonNight@gmail.com.